Well, good morning, and we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to worship our God on this day. I am actually speaking on Saturday morning instead of Sunday morning, but because of the benefits of technology, we're able to live stream this today, and I'm thankful for this opportunity for us to open our Bibles together and focus in on the Word of God. Think about it for just a moment. The power it would take to not just shut down a business or several businesses, but the economy of the world. Think about the power it would take to cause the stock market to plummet, for businesses to close, for schools to close, for people to have to stand 6 feet apart, for toilet paper to disappear off the shelves. What could be so powerful that would cause those things to take place? Actually, it's something very, very, very small. Something that might look like a planet out of Star Trek, but something that is real, microscopic. This virus has such tremendous power. And it's not just a figment of our imagination. There have been pandemics through the centuries, through the years, that have caused a tremendous amount of pain and suffering and death and disruption. Back in 1918 with the Spanish flu, it is estimated that there were 50 million people across this world, 700,000 within the United States who lost their lives. The common flu that we have every year kills tens of thousands every year. Something so small has such tremendous power. And unfortunately, this coronavirus has taken lives of people around the world, and even people in the United States, even people here in Alabama. And it is through really extraordinary emphasis and measures being taken that it has not killed more individuals. The extraordinary things that the government is doing, that doctors are doing, that researchers are doing, trying to come up with treatments and a vaccine so that our bodies can fight against this. But when we're faced with such power, a lot of times we as human beings feel very little, very small. Sometimes we feel as though we have no power at all. We feel very vulnerable. You know, feeling vulnerable is not always a bad thing, because sometimes when we are feeling the most vulnerable, we look up to someone who is much stronger than we are. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." I'd like for us in our lesson this morning to focus in on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, we're going to look at a time of Paul's vulnerability, where he felt weak, but at the same time, he learned a wonderful blessing, a wonderful lesson in strength. And it is a lesson that I think we can learn even today as we go through this pandemic. The first observation I would make is that Paul felt God's power when he felt his own weakness. Let's read these verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul felt powerful and strong when he felt his weakness, because he turned to God. Now, if you look at the Apostle Paul, he was a very strong man. He had a strong intellect. He had a strong work ethic. He was talented in spreading the gospel. It was he who had received revelations from God by the Spirit of God, and he is responsible for much of the New Testament. 13 or 14 of the New Testament books, letters, were written by the Apostle Paul. And specifically in this context, Paul is making the point that he was actually caught up into heaven itself to see the glories that are there. He could not even speak about the glories that he saw in heaven. So he was exalted himself personally a great deal, but that's not what made him feel strong. What made him feel strong was when he was weak, when he had the thorn in the flesh, because it was then that he relied upon the strength of God, and that is what gave him power. It was the comparison between his strength and God's strength. And when he looked at God's, that's when he felt powerful. The Apostle Paul quotes from what Jesus said in an answer to his prayer that he prayed three times. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Truth is, the strength of Jesus is not realized in us until we ourselves put our trust in that, until we ourselves see the reality of our own weakness in the face of the difficulties of life. But think about it. Jesus says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." How strong was Jesus? Well, let's look at the Gospel of John for just a moment. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, where John goes all the way back to the beginning of this universe, to the beginning of time. And he says, John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, of course, the Word is going to be identified later in verse 14 as Jesus. He came in the flesh. But he's describing this Word. He's describing Jesus. And he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Now, sometimes when we think of the creation, we think of the Father. And certainly the Father played a major role in the creation of this universe. He was the one that had the plan, the design for how all things would be. The Spirit of God was there. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we find that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. So the Father and the Spirit were there in the creation. But don't forget that Jesus was there too. In fact, John says that all things were created through him and by him. Jesus Christ was the executor of the plan of the Father. He was the one that actually did the creating and the sustaining, the holding of all things together. I mean, think back to Genesis 1 and the power that is demonstrated that God possesses. That, recall, Jesus possesses. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God divided the firmament from the waters because he spoke it into existence. God made the dry land to appear and the seas to be separated. God caused the vegetation to grow on the earth. He organized the lights, the sun and the moon and the stars, and put them in their proper rotation so that we might have the years and the seasons. God brought about the fishes and the birds of the air. God made and created with the sound of his voice all of the animal life on the earth. And on the sixth day as well, he made man in his image. In 6 days, Jesus created all things. And the creation of this world manifests a tremendous amount of power. Just think about the power that it would take to make the immense universe that we have. But not just the immense universe that we have, but also the small microscopic universe that lives within this huge universe. It is Jesus that brought all of that about. He is the one that has created all things. And this creation that took place in 6 days didn't have to be redone. There is no version 2.0 of the creation of the universe. In 6 days, Jesus did it exactly right. He looked at it, he inspected it, and it was good. In fact, it was very good. The complexity of this universe, and yet the harmony of this universe as it all works together, from the very smallest DNA design that reproduces, self-reproduces itself, to the grand expanse that we see of the universe. All of this was created by Jesus Christ. Jesus has tremendous power. But we also look through the Gospel of John and we find while he was in the flesh, he demonstrated tremendous power. In chapter 2, he turned water into wine. He was able to change the composition of water and transformed it into something that was different to wine. In chapter 5, he caused a man who had been lame for 38 years to walk again. Not only did he cure the man of his disease, but he also brought strength back into his legs and coordination into his legs so that he was able to walk again. In chapter 6, from 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was able to feed 5,000 people. In chapter 6 as well, he was able to defy the law of gravity by walking on top of the water in the midst of a storm. In chapter 9, he took a man who had been born blind and he caused him to see. In chapter 11, he took a man who had been dead for 3 days, Lazarus, and he raised him from the dead. All of these miracles that Jesus did while he was on the earth was to prove, was to manifest, was to show Jesus is tremendously powerful. So when Jesus says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness," in fact, Jesus is extremely powerful. But notice what he says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." I mean, the fact is, Jesus is strong whether we acknowledge it or not. Jesus is powerful whether we ever even believe in him or not. But the strength of Jesus Christ is made complete when we trust in it, when we have reliance upon it. It is made complete in our lives because it is not simply Jesus having power, but Jesus having power in our lives. And that the power of Jesus Christ has been brought unto fruition. God shares with us his power. It is made complete. It is made perfect so that we become powerful ourselves. I mean, you think about our lives on the earth. I was trying to think of a time when I felt more power because I felt weak. And I have a lot of illustrations of times when I felt like that with my relationship with God. But I'll give you a physical illustration of that. I remember back in high school playing football. And it was a scary thing for a high schooler to go out on the football field because you have people on the other side of the ball who are trying to crush you all of the time. And it could be a very frightening thing. But you know, my dad came to every one of those games. And just the fact that my dad was in the stands, he's more intelligent than me, he was wiser than me, and I knew that if I got hurt on the football field, he would be running down there to help me out. The fact that he was there and he was strong, stronger than me, made me feel stronger. It coupled with my weakness and made me stronger. I mean, that's a small little illustration of the way we are with Jesus Christ, the way we are in our relationship with God. Knowing God, even though we're the one on the earth, we're the one in the football game, and God is in heaven, but knowing that God is powerful and God is wise and God is intelligent and God cares about us, that infuses us with the strength that we can find in no other source. Because notice what the Apostle Paul said. We go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Notice what Paul says. "Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Having the power of Jesus rest upon us in those vulnerable times gives us a strength that we cannot find in ourselves because we are not as powerful as Jesus Christ. Now, I think we have to deal with something here that maybe the skeptic might ask us, maybe the people around us who are not believers in Jesus Christ might ask us, and that is, why, if Jesus is so powerful, doesn't he take this virus away? Why doesn't he take wars away? Why doesn't he take all disease away? Why doesn't he take all of the suffering of this world? Why doesn't he take it away? Now, notice that Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I have not taken that away. My grace is enough. And the fact is, Jesus could take it all away. And there is going to be a day when he will take it all away. But right now, he has decided not to take it away. He is going to take it away when this universe is destroyed. Because when this universe is destroyed and there's going to be a judgment day and his people are going to be delivered into heaven and the unjust are going to be delivered unto hell, all of this suffering, all of the viruses, all of the diseases, all of the wars of mankind, all of them are going to be gone. He is going to destroy them all. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says that his children will be in this place and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Yes, there is going to be a time by the power of God when all of the forces of evil are going to be taken away, and we are going to be in a place when they cannot take over, they cannot have power over us. But right now on the earth, God has chosen not to take those away. Because we live in a world where sin has influenced us. Sin has entered the world and brought about death, brought about mortality, brought about suffering. As a matter of fact, this specific illustration that the Apostle Paul makes in chapter 12 and verse 7, he says that the reason why he had this chronic illness, this chronic ailment problem, he says, it was the thorn in the flesh given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. God did not cause him to have this chronic ailment, but Satan actually did so, and God allowed that. God allowed that because Satan is going to be judged and is going to be cast into hell for all eternity. And there are people who will do evil things to us to cause suffering, and they are also going to be judged because of that. And God also has placed within this world consequences for evil behavior that bring about punishment for us, that try to bring us to repentance, to try to motivate us to change. How wonderful it would be if the world in which we lived learned a lesson from this virus. If they, because of this virus, have had to stay in and quarantine themselves, have learned how futile life is chasing after the things of this life, how futile it is to be so engaged in the things that seem most urgent that we're forgetting about the things that are most important. Being vulnerable and feeling our weakness can cause us to look up and see with clarity the eternity that God has prepared us for. And the things that God wants us to do, it can actually help us. As a matter of fact, Paul specifically mentions why this thorn in the flesh helped him. Notice again in verse 7. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Apostle Paul recognized that God allowed this to take place because it was better for him. He could have been egotistical. He could have been proud in the privileges that he had, the blessings that he had of being an apostle of Jesus Christ and receiving revelations. That could have harmed his relationship with God, could have caused him to be involved with sin. And so it was actually a good thing, the Apostle Paul saw. It was a good thing that he had this thorn in the flesh to keep his ego in check. So God in this world allows many things that cause us suffering to take place because we are in this world for now. But let's go back to the main thing that Jesus says. He says, my grace is sufficient for, I'm not going to get rid of all suffering, But I have done something very, very, very significant. And that's enough. What I have given you, because it is going to affect eternity, is so vital, is so important, that whether or not there are viruses on the earth really don't make any difference. Because His grace is a demonstration of His great power. I mean, in a way, it would be nice if we got rid of all physical ailments out of this life. But what Jesus does, what His grace has done, has given us something that's going to last into eternity. He has solved the main problem that we have. And that's not our physical diseases. It's sin. Because that affects our soul. It affects our relationship with Him. It affects our eternity. And His grace has provided salvation for us. His grace has provided a relationship with God for us. Through His blood, we can be forgiven of our sins. And think back on the miracles that Jesus did. The miracles Jesus did demonstrated that He was the Son of God, but it did something else significant. It showed us His great power that is going to be applied in the spiritual realm. For example, Jesus fed the 5,000. But the point of that was not to feed all mankind for all time. He only fed 5,000 one meal. But He fed 5,000 miraculously, demonstrating His power because He said, "I am the bread of life. The grace of God has made it possible for me to have spiritual nourishment all through my life and through eternity." That's power. I never have to worry about a meal again. And I'm not simply eating enough to get by. I'm eating enough spiritually to grow and to mature and to manifest fruit of righteousness within my life. In chapter 9, when Jesus caused the man who was born blind to see again, He not only caused this man to see, had great power in doing so, but His purpose was not to get rid of all blindness. That'd be a wonderful blessing. But what Jesus did is more significant than that. Jesus illustrated that He had power, that His grace was going to allow us to see with the light of Jesus Christ, allow us to see life, allow us to see eternity, allow us to see truth with our eyes. That takes tremendous power. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient. Forget about this thorn in the flesh. Look at what I have given to you." When He causes Lazarus, when He raises him from the dead, that demonstrated great power. But the point of Jesus was not to raise all mankind from the dead, at least at that point. He only raised that one man from the dead. But within that, He said, "I, in my power, am going to give you even more." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He was talking about spiritual resurrection and life, and He was also talking about the fact that one day we are all going to be raised from the dead. We are all going to be able to be with the Lord for all eternity. That is, those who are His children. And in John chapter 20, when Jesus Himself was raised from the dead, it proved it was tremendous power for Jesus to be raised from the dead. But it was not just about His resurrection from the dead. His resurrection from the dead is proof, is empirical evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is proof that He was raised to sit at the right hand of God and is reigning right now. It is proof that He is our advocate, that He is the propitiation for our sins, that He is our Savior right now. And it is proof that all of us, no matter how we may die, all of us are going to be resurrected from the dead one day. All of us are going to have eternity. And what Jesus is doing right now, He tells us in John 14, what He's doing right now is preparing a place for us within the mansion of God. He is preparing a room for us, a habitation, so that we can be with God for all eternity. Right now, as Peter said, we can cast all of our anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. we can have tremendous strength and power. As the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, that we are to be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication we make our requests made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Yes, when we feel vulnerable, when we feel weak because of what's going on around us, and we aren't able to grab a hold and take control of what's around us, it can actually be a good thing. Because what we do is we look up and we recognize the strength that God has, and we see the grace that He has given to us. And it gives us a perspective. It gives us a help. It gives us a peace. Because we in this world do the very best that we can in dealing with various things. We keep our 6 feet distance. We stay in. We try to find a vaccine to take care of this virus. We try to do whatever we can on this earth. But after all of that's done, we can then put it into the hands of God. And God is so powerful that He has given us His grace. So that, just as the Apostle Paul said in chapter 12 and verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God has blessed us a great deal in the spiritual realm. He has given us His grace. I hope that you'll have a good rest of the day, that you'll continue to take your precautions so that we can at least keep down, tamp down the consequences of this virus that's going around. But more importantly, I hope that it helps all of us to look up, to reevaluate our lives, and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you and have a good day.